world of realia and try and conceptualize to the degree that we can conceptualize the shitos. So after having dealt with lulav hagazel, lulav hayavesh, hasherah, the irnidachas, that all of these are more conceptual psulim, we have dinim that deal with the body of the lulav itself. Niktam rosho, nifritzu olav, pasul. Nifridu olav, kasher. So let's take the principles one by one. We'll start with niktam rosho. Lechora, over here, we have two words, niktam rosho. Let's start with the second word, rosho. How does one define the rosh of a lulav? What did you see within the Rishonim? How does one define the rosh of a lulav? So here we have a Machlokas Rishonim, because we have a question as to how does one define the guf of the lulav. L'chora, the shita that conceptually distinguishes between the world of lulav as opposed to Hadas and Arava is that of Tosfos and the Ritva, with the Ravid making a comparison, namely that the Ravid, if we start, look at the beginning of the Ritva on the Mishnah, the first Maranakam, Niktam Rosh Apostle, the Ravid points out, the Rosh Shalulav Hu Rosh Shidro, the Lulav Hu Hashedra, Vehi Itzumo, Hanikra Lulav. Namely, that just as in the world of Hadassah and Arava, we have a Guf and we have Alim, and the guf is the eitz, the wood, the stem. And when we deal with the world of psulim and shiurim, etc., we deal with the guf of the min. So also in terms of the lulav, the guf is the shedra, the guf is the spine of the lulav. And the alim are just alim. So we speak about niktam rosho, we speak about the niktam, the cut, is in the shedra itself, in the spine of the lulav. What the Ravid gains with such an approach is not only the fact that we have a parallelism between the three minim of hadas, arava, and lulav, that all of them have a guf and alim, and the psulim are in the guf as opposed to the leaves, as opposed to the alim, but also it removes all of the issues in terms of the tiomet, that the Gemara is going to deal with nechak ha-tiomet, nechsar ha-tiomet. The world of the tiomet is certainly within the alim. And so according to the Ravid, these are simply two different sugyos. Niktam rosho deals with the shedra, and the tiomet deals with the alim, and so you can't ask from one on the other. Namely, exactly where Tosfos begins his issues, the Ravid pulls the from underneath the comparison, that rosho has nothing to do with the alim, rosho is a din in the shedra. However, Tosfos and the Ritva disagree frontally with the Ravid, and they point out that as opposed to the Hadas and the Arava, the guf of the lulav is a combination of Ra and Alim. The spine and the leaves is the guf, and since we're dealing over here with Rosho, the upper part of the guf, so the upper part of the guf would be the Alim. And then the question is, okay, so if the alim is going to be part of the guf, which alim? And here we have within Tosos and within the Ritva, two deos are dealing with the two alim elyonim, and then we're going to have a stira with the world of tiomet, if we assume that tiomet are those two alim elyonim, or are we dealing with a world of rov alim, and that, according to Tosfos, would remove the issue of tiomet, that the tiomet deals with the two upper alim, as opposed to Niktam, which deals with most of the Alim. Okay, so we have over here this basic issue. What would you say in terms of this question as to how do we define a lulav? Is the goof of the lulav the purely the Shedra, like by Hadas and Arava, and the Alim are a separate entity, or is the goof of the lulav, does that consist of the Shedra and the Alim? Did you come across anywhere where this is dealt with by the Amoraim? Again, the Rishonim are cholik on this. Did you come across anywhere where this is dealt with by the Rishonim, by the Amoraim?
The whole
sugya,
how far above the
Lechora, this is the Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis Amed Beis. The Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis Amed Beis, where the Gemara asks, Lulav Shiyeshbo Shlosha Tvachim, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shir Hadas V'Arava Shlosha, V'Lulav Arba'a, Kedeshi Heilulav Yotze Mina Hadas Tefach, and then Rav Parnoch, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shedro Shalulav Tzorach Shiyetze Mina Hadas Tefach. What's the machlokas between Rav Parnach in the name of Rav Yochanan and Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel? So the Rishonim all understand that according to Shmuel and Rav Yehuda, we're dealing over here with the alim of the lulav being above the hadas and the arava. Masha'en Kain, according to Rav Parnach and Rav Yochanan, what requires that shedro shel lulav, that the shedra actually exit from above. Chora, it would be very, very hard to say that the Ravid is agreeing with Rav Parnach and Rav Yochanan, and the Ritva and the Balya Tosus are agreeing with Shmuel and Rav Yehuda. They both have to explain both Shitot, but what Ben is correct is that Chora, this appears to be the core of the issue. The core of the issue would be we have a din of shir. Is the din of shir lechora relates to the goof, and what exactly is the goof of the lulav? Is the goof of the lulav only the shedra, or is the goof of the lulav the shedra and the alim? But perhaps, in other words, so the ravid doesn't relate to this gemara black and white lehefech. This Gemara is brought by the Ritva as a kasha on the Ravid. When the Ritva points out in the sixth line Berach on the page that I photostated for you, ve'ein zeh nachon, to say that the goof of the lulav is the shedra, the vaday halulav hainu shedra im ha'alim ubalav alim lamikri lulav stam v'raya gemurim ashenek lekulav haneinu Rav Yochanan v'Shmuel b'shiuro shel lulav. That this is exactly, you know, it's, that according to the Ravid, we should not have a machlokas. Everyone should agree with Rav Yochanan that we're going to measure the shedra, measure the shir in terms of the shedra. But the fact that we have a machlokas, that according to the Ritva, that shows that this is not the issue. The Shmuel Amar Shiura Bahadei Olim Kari Le Lulav Stam. Rav Yochanan de Meshar Le Levad Me Olim Kamar Shedra Shalulav Arba'a. And then he continues with other questions, but what in other words, what one has to say according to the Ritva is that the question of the shir and the question of the guf lend themselves to be separated one from the other. Okay, so that's issue number one. What exactly is the rosho? Are we talking about the shedra? Are we talking about the shedra plus the olim? And then it would be an issue of the olim. And then we get involved with the nechleka hatiyomes. How is that different than niktam rosho? But what does the concept of niktam mean? How would you translate niktam in English?
Cut off. Cut.
Cut, okay. Niktam, that it is cut off. What issue does the Ritva on the Mishnah raise in terms of the quantity of niktam rosho? Clearly, Pashas Niktam Rosho means, however we're going, again, whether we're dealing within the world of the Shedra or we're dealing within the world of the Olim, but the classic Niktam would be a total cut. What about a rove of a cut? L'chora, b'chol ha-Torah kula, how do we view rove?
B'kekula.
Rubo Kakulo. So Chora Torah Kulo Chora, that which we say by the entirety would apply to the Rove as well. However, the Ritva raises a question that perhaps that perhaps over here a kol shehu of niktam would be enough. Namely, one doesn't have to cut off the entire rosh. One doesn't even have to cut off rov of the rosh. Again, assuming that the rosh are alim, so rov of the alim. But rather, it's enough to have a niktam of kol shehu. Where would that come from? Where would we find a din of kol shehu that we could apply to the din of niktam rosho? Look in the Ritva itself, okay? The Ritva in the second paragraph, in the middle of the second paragraph, points out he says, firstly, Eliyahu Nira she'eino nifsal el kishniktam rosho rubo shel ala v'chein kas Rabbeinu Yonah zal b'shem rabosav avol mikeivan dekatani stama niktam rosho yesh lachush afilu b'niktam kol shehu va'af al pi she'eino kein b'shar psulei lulav asu rosh lulav k'chotmo shel esrog shehu b'mashehu. V'chein yirei mitzvah choshishin, v'chein choshesh mori natrachmana uparke. Let's move for a minute to the Mishnah on Daf Lamed. Sorry, Lamed Dalet Amid Beis. The Mishnah over there by Esrog. So the Mishnah points out that we have a din of chazizis, that when we have various maros on the esrog, that if you have a chazizis al rubo, then it's pasul; chazizis al miyuto, then it's asher. The Gemara on daf lamed hey amed beis, towards the bottom, points out that's on the guf of the esrog. However, Amar Rava, 5 lines from the bottom of the Gemara on daf lamed hey amed beis, al chotmo afilu b'mashehu name pasul, that we have a din in terms of the upper part of the esrog, that there even a mare kol shehu is pasul. We paskin that way, and Rashi explains the end of the thin lines and beginning of the wide lines. Ubechotmo ba'ovi govo shemeshapeh misham v'yored litzad rosho, on the upper spitz of the esrog afilu kol shehu pasul. Shenira sham leinayim yoser mishar mekomot shebo shebo oto ovi shar mekomot shebo shebo oso ovi adam no sein enav, that the chotam of the esrog gathers individuals' attention. That's where people look with a much sharper eye, and therefore there is a difference in terms of the nature of the psul, that a psul that normally would be up on rov, the moment dealing with the chotam, turns out even to be a mashehu. So our question is over here is, when we speak about by the lulav niktam rosho, are we comparing the rosh of the lulav to the rosh of the esrog? Just as in the rosh of the esrog, we have a different standard, a standard of kol shehu. We say hu hadin in terms of the rosh of the lulav, and then niktam rosho would even be a kol shehu. Or are we saying no? That niktam rosho is a din of a pula that would remove the upper part of the lulav as a din of kol haTorah kula. A din of Torah kol haTorah kula would either be to remove the entire upper aleh or alim or rov, but it certainly would not go down to the world of kol shehu. So that remains an open question within the Ritva. So far we've discussed rosho. Is the Rosh in the Shedra or the Rosh in the Alim? And we've discussed the concept of Niktam. The Gemara wants to... Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis wants to contrast Niktam Rosho, which the Mishnah says is possible, to Nistak. Amar Rav Huna lo shanu ela Niktam, avol Nistak kosher. And then the Gemara has an issue that we have a braisa that speaks about Nistak being possible, and the Gemara distinguishes Amar Rav Huna da Ovid ke Himnik. What's the uniqueness of Ovid ke Himnik as opposed to Nistak? Nistak itself, we're going to say, is kosher. Ovid ke Himnik is possible. What is Ovid ke Himnik? Again, in a broad sense. Look at Rashi. Ovid ke Himnik in the thin lines. Rashi gives an example of a certain Kli Barzel of Sofrim. Sheyesh lo shnei roshim, rosh echad mefutzal. Kach gadal halulav kemin shnei shedraot, machatzit alav lekan u'machatzit alav lekan. Namely, as opposed to nistak, which means that we have a break in the organic structure of the lulav, himnik means that we're dealing with an illusion. We're dealing with an illusion of having over here two lulavim. It's as though the lulav is growing with a break between the leaves. That it appears that simply we're dealing with the natural growth of the lulav, as opposed to an issue of something organically being split, of something being torn. There's no tear. There's no break. But simply it's growing with air between leaves. Okay, on the level of Nistak Kosher, so we pointed out that within the Ravid that we're speaking about, the Shedra, so there's no stira between this and the Gemara of Tiomet. However, within the within the Ritva and the Tosfos, that we're dealing over here with the Aleh, so how can we speak about Nistak being kosher within the Alim if we say that Nechleka Hatiyomes is possible? That's the Gemara over here of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Nitla Hatiyomes pasul, and Hu Hadin Nechleka. In other words, that the Nechleka Na'ase Kemishin Nitla Upasul. So either Nistak or Nechlak, aren't they one and the same? So here you have a number of Terutzim within Tosfos and within the Ritva. What direction do you want to take? Within Tosfos itself, we saw back on the Kaftesima days. Actually, Tosfos dealt more with the world of Nitra, but the Ritva deals with the world of Nistak, the Ritva Alatar, and Aflamet Alafamet Beis. So the Ritva gives basically three directions. One is to distinguish between Nistak Miyuto and Nistak Rubo. That really in Achinami, that Nistak and Nechlak are one and the same. When it's a miyut, then it's kosher. When it's a rov, then it is pasul. The problem with such a teretz is what?
Didn't he just say kosher was pasul?
What?
He said kosher was pasul. No. He said kosher was pasul before.
That's an excellent point. In other words, that if we're going to compare this, in other words, if we're going to take the second perush that we mentioned earlier, that which applies to the rosh is a din of kolshu, one can't distinguish between a miyut and a rov, 100%. But simply from a technical perspective, if we're dealing with something that's begun to tear, and you're being said it's kosher to use, and how do we use a lulav via na'anuim, so then it's only a question of time until it becomes a rov. That's what the Ritva points out. V'yeshlomar the hasam kishenechlaka ruba avol nistak miuto dahinu barosho kosher ad do'avid kehimnik. Or maybe no, maybe over here also we're dealing with the same issue, because kishimin bechol sha'a shemisnano, as you're going to minaneya it, it's going to move from the miyut into the rov. V'chein choshishin ba'alei hanefesh. So what alternatives does the Ritva have to distinguish between nistika and nechlika? Not a question of rov and miyut, but rather the Ritva suggests that if we're dealing in terms of length and width, when we speak about niktam, in which plane are we working? In which mishor are we working? When we speak about that, cut off is from side to side or from top to bottom? L'chora dinam rochav. So if we're reading medayek, that lo shanu ela niktam avol nistak kosher. So then the Ritva suggests that Nistak is also side to side, similar to Niktam. And we, as opposed to Niktam, where something is totally cut off or mostly cut off, Nistak would be a miyut. And again, so as Yoni points out, if we're going to say that we're dealing with the world of Chotam, so such chiluk is not going to work. But the moment that we say that we're not using the dinim of the Esrog, but rather the dinim of Kol HaTorah Kula, so Kulo and Rubo, that would be possible. Mashen Ken Miyuta would be kosher. So Lo Shanu Ela Niktam, when you have Kulo or Rubo Niktam, that would be possible. Avol Nistak, if we simply have a cut from side to side on the Miyut, that would remain kosher. As opposed to nechlika tiyomet, there you're dealing with a split top to bottom. That emet is a different world. There is, however, a third perush, which is brought both by the Ritva and by Tosfos, a perush in the name of the Gaonim. See it in the Ritva, the Ramaschi of Amar Rav Huna, and then see it in Tosfos. The Ritva points out, Mihu k'sas Rabosenu zal pirshu shenechaka tiyomes, eino ha'ola helion, ela kishe ha'olin ha'kfulin yesh lehem begavam, dovar shemachaber osam, u mitayiman, something that makes them twins, that there is a natural glue within the lulav that makes all of the leaves twins, the nikra tiyomes, and that's why it's called tiyomes, from a language of a twin, that they are Siamese twins, they're connected. The nechaku rov ha'alim v'rov kol ala v'ala v'osa makam pasul. Namely, to reinterpret the world of tiyomet, that up to now we've been assuming that tiyomet is certainly the upper leaf, the two upper leaves, that's certainly the tiyomet, and our only question is, what is niktam? What is nistak? Are we dealing with the two upper leaves? Are we dealing with lower leaves? Are we dealing with the shedra, etc.? But the Gaonim take the understanding that the tiyomet has nothing to do with the two upper leaves, but rather we're dealing with that which makes the leaves double leaves as opposed to single leaves. The nechlika hatiyomet means that the leaves turn from double leaves into single leaves. And that has nothing at all to do with the world of nistak. Nistak is within the upper leaves. Then nistak is kosher. But when all the leaves lose their glue and they all open up to two, That is what we have over here in terms of nechlika hatiyomes, and the Ritva then concludes v'chein mashbi Yerushalmi the amrina nifritzu alav naase kemisha nechlika hatiyomes, that the Yerushalmi compares this to the world of nifritzu alav, alma pisula de nechlika hatiyomes b'chol ha'olim dumi nifritzu alav This is what we find over here in Tosfos. Dibur Amaschil Nechleka HaTiyomes, in the bottom of Lamed Beis Amed Aleph. So the first Teretz of Tosfos to distinguish between Nechleka HaTiyomes and Nistaku is in terms of, are we dealing with the upper leaves or the lower leaves? Ubahag Pirush, the second Teretz, Nechleka HaTiyomes Hahu Gaba Dehutza, that spine of on the leaves, Hecha de Deviku HaAdadi, which normally, naturally, is a glue that glues these leaves together as double leaves, Hahu de Mitayim Behu, that which makes them twins, Umashvi Lehu Chad, and makes the two into one, Ikish and Nifritzu Alav Dame, if that glue disappears and now it opens up, then pasul. Nifridu alav dami kasher. The degree that opens up, that's the degree of the psul. So lechaora, as to whether this perish is possible or not, really depends on the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi give an example, give a naase to the nechaka hatiyomes. The Bavli says nechaka hatiyomes. Naase kemisha nitla hatiyomes. The Yerushalmi says, "Nechleka hatiyomes naase kemi shenifritzu olav." So, if we have the comparison of the Bavli that we compare nechleka hatiyomes to nitla hatiyomes, then we're dealing with the upper leaves, and then we have to make all the distinctions that we made between nistak and nechak. However, if we have the comparison to Nifritzu Alav, the Yerushalmi's comparison, then it's a totally different world in which Nistak deals with an upper leaf, and Nechaka simply means that all of the double leaves open up into single leaves, and that is the pool. Okay? So, what we've seen up to now is that, just to summarize, that the Mishnah mentions Nikatam at Rosho. He pointed out that in terms of Rosho, we have a machlokes between the Ravid and the Ritva and Tosfos as to how do we define the guf of the lulav. The guf of the lulav is the Shedra, or the Shedra plus the Alim. And so, of course, the Rosho will be one of these two. According to the Ravid, that we're moving into the Shedra, then Ein Laze Kesher L'Sugyat Tiyomes. If we're dealing with the Shedra and the Alim are above the Shedra, then Tzrichim L'Hitmoded in Sugyat Tiyomes. In terms of Niktam, so we spoke about the fact that we have a question within the Ritva. Is this the din of Kulo and Rubo, or is this a din of Mashehu? If it's a din of Mashehu, then it's like the Chotam of the Esrog, that perhaps that's the concept of Rosho, the Rosh of every one of the Minim, is an area that we scrutinize with much more care. Niktam Rosho is pasul, however Nistak is kosher. So again, according to the Ravid, this has nothing to do with the world of Tiyomet. However, the moment that we deal with the Ritva and Tosos, that we're dealing with the Olim, then we have to bring in the world of the Tiyomet. And so the question is, why is Nistak kosher as opposed to Nechleka? Hatiyomes, which is possible. So we distinguish either between Rov, which is possible, that's Nechleka, or Nistak would be Miut. But that Again, is the issue is that in the course of usage that's going to go, or we're dealing with an issue of orech, when the split is in the length, that's what's possible. Well, when the split is to the width, that's what's kosher. Or we simply have to redefine tiyomet, that we saw that the Bahag, based on the Yerushalmi, redefines that the tiyomet is really nothing to do with the upper leaves, but rather is a din of nifritzu ha'alim. And then these are two different issues. Within the world of Hinnik, we pointed out that there we're dealing on a level of that it appears to be two different lulavim. That's a whole different ball game. The Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, when it moves over to in other words, after the Gemara brings in Ovid Kehimnik, it points out that if the entire all the leaves of the lulav, Hai Lulva, where you have the hay of the Ein Mishpat, Hai Lulva into Salik Bechad Hutza, when you have all the leaves on one side, Ba'al Mumhu U Pasul. What over here is added in the Gemara that we haven't spoken about up to this point? If at this point the Gemara is raising an issue that this a certain lulav is the equivalent of a Ba'al Mum, what have we been talking about up to now? What is the reason why Niktam Rosho is Pasul? What is the reason why lulav Kafuf, etc. is Pasul? Why Harus is Pasul? Or Ovid Kehimnik is Pasul? That all of a sudden when we get to the world of Hai Lulva Desalik Bechad Hutza, this turns into Ba'al Mum Hu Pasul. Means up to now, what are we talking about?
Kibur.
We were talking about the world of Hadar. I'm sorry, I don't hear well. We were talking about the world, it's not you. We were talking about the world of Hadar, the Psul of Hadar. That's the way Rashi on the Mishnah itself pointed out that by Niktam Rosho Pasul de lo havei Hadar. How many days is something Pasul if it's a Psul of Hadar? According to the Rambam, only the first day. However, when we're dealing with the world of Ba'al Mumhu, namely that this is simply not defined as the min of Lulav, that Chora is a psul of 7 days. So what it raises is that all of these psulim, we have to ask ourselves, are these psulim of Hadar only the first day, or are these going to be psulim that would be defined as a Ba'al Mum, and Lachora would be possible the entire week. Okay, then we come to the Gemara after Nechleka Hatiyomes. Take a break a second. The Gemara backsteps a minute and asks a very, very basic question. Tanya Rav Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Tarfon Kapos Tmarim Kofus Im Hayaparud Yichfatenu, that we have to bring it together. Omar Le Ravina Le Ravashi Mimai De Hai Kapos Tmarim De Gulvahu Ema Charusa. And we over here the Gemara all of a sudden asked, how do we know what a lulav is? How do we know that a lulav, mimai the high kapos tamarim, namely that the way the Torah describes a lulav, the lulvahu is what we call a lulav, namely the shedra and the olim However, we're going to define lulav like the Ravid, like the Ritva. How do we know that we're working in the realm of the Shedra and the Olin? Maybe Charutahu. Maybe we're dealing over here with branches, Bichra. And then the Gemara points out, Be'ina kafut v'leka. The branches would not be able to be bent. Ve'ema ufta. Maybe we're dealing then with the tree itself, which grows straight. Kafus michlal de'ika parud. It appears that it can have two different forms. V'hai kafus v'omed, as opposed to having one form. V'ema kufra. Maybe we are dealing with the bottom. In other words, a different part of the bark. Etc. Namely, that the Gemara asks Bichal, how do we know what the lulav looks like? How do you understand such a Gemara? What are the, in other words, what are the two options understanding? How did the Rishonim understand these Gemaras? The Gemara really didn't know. In other words, Gemara is asking that Yitachin, that there's another direction. Beseder, the Rambam in his Akdama to the Mishneh Torah takes for granted that Chazal had a Masoret in terms of all of these areas, in terms of all of these matters, in terms of all the identity of the Arba Minim, that it's all a Masoret, and that what the Gemara over here is doing is trying to fit it simply into the words of the Pasuk of Kapot Tamarim. But not that there was any real question as to what could be used or what couldn't be used. There's also such a Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Emor in Siman Chaf that points out that there's psukim at the end of Mishlei that there are three things that Shlomo HaMelech himself was unaware of. And one of them was, what were the Arba Minim? In other words, that had he just had the Psukim in the Torah, he never would have been able to figure out what the Arba Minim were. It was only because he had a Masoret that he was able to know what they are. So this in general is, in other words, is the direction that the Medrash and the Rishonim took, that these Gemaras were not meant to open up to other options the halacha, but rather, in other words, just to show that Chazal had a masoret, and the masoret fit very nicely into the psukim. When Abaye brings in Durachecha Darchei Noam v'chol nasivoseha shalom, that it couldn't possibly be that we're speaking about a part of the bark that would have a lot of prickly sharp needles. That would cause our hands to be injured by taking the Arba Minim. So I sent you to a sugya in Yevamos on Daf Pei Zayin Amadeis that Derecha Darchei Noam is an assumption that the Gemara uses to learn out halachos midoraisa. In other words, that the Torah never would have given us a tzivui that would cause us a state of ini imut that would cause us a state of discomfort. Over here, the Gemara is speaking about a physical state of discomfort. Masha'enken in the Gemara in Yevamos is speaking about a emotional state of discomfort that the Torah never would have requested a married woman to undergo a chalitza, which would imply that she is somehow connected to another man, because shema tizgane al ba'ala, that would create a certain dissonance within the family structure that would be very, very uncomfortable. And drecha darchei noam v'chol nasiv aser shalom. This is considered to be a halachic imperative. The Gemara then moves over to the world of Tzine Har Barzel. in which we have a lulav with very, very short leaves. And then the Gemara moves over to a ma'amar of Haggadata, that shtei timros yesh begei ben hinom, ve'ole ashan mi beneihem, v'ze sheshanin utzinei harabazel ksheirot, v'zohi pischa shel gehenom. So I just do to a one-line maharsha in Eruvin, that the palm tree represents the fruit of the tree, the dates, which are tremendously sweet. That this is the concept of Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, the Dvash Tmarim, and that sweetness is that which can serve as the petach shel Gehenom. At this point, the Gemara returns to the world of Shiurim, and as we pointed out, where it opens up the issue as to what is the basic definition of a lulav? Is the basic definition of a lulav the shedra or the alin? Again, with the nafkamina that we mentioned earlier in terms of rosho. Are we talking about the rosh of the shedra or the rosh of the alin? However, there is within the Gemara another direction in which one could understand the issue of the shear of the lulav. The Gemara says that the shear of the lulav is such that the lulav stands out a tefch above the hadasim and the aravos. What is the pshuto of the Gemara? What is the function of that tefach? Lulav sheyesh lo gimel tefachim kedei lena'aneyabo, right? We add ukedei lena'aneyabo, mar kedei islay, that the function of the tefach is to allow for na'anuim. But there is also the phrase in the Gemara, per se. If you look in Rashi on the third top, on the third line from the top, namely that we're dealing over here with a definition of height which has nothing to do with na'anuim per se, but simply that this is that which defines between the lulav and the other meaning. If we look for a moment at the Mishnah down the the Gemara on Daf Lamed Zayin, the days before the Mishnah, Amar Rabba Lulav B'Yamin, the Esrog B'Smol, Mai Taima, Hanu Tlasa Mitzvos V'Hai Chada Mitzvah. Amalei Rav Yirmiyah L'Rav Zrika, Mat Ta'am Loma Varchinun Ela Al Natilas Lulav, Hoil V'Gavoha Mikulan. That the bracha is given on the name of the lulav because it is the one which stands out the most. Hoel v'gavoa mikulan. So the Gemara asks for ligba le'esrog v'livrach. If it's a question of what stands out, so let's simply raise the esrog and make a bracha on the esrog. Amalei hoel ubemino gavoa mikulan. That we're dealing over here in terms of the species. Bemino gavoa mikulan. So what we have over here would be an alternative understanding as to why the lulav requires that extra tefach. The lulav can require the extra tefach kedei l'naneyabo, or the lulav could require that extra tefach simply to define it as being the min which has dominance, the min which has dominance, and the min on which we're going to make the bracha. My nafgamina, if we're dealing with a shear which was given to give dominance to the lulav, or a shear that was given to allow the lulav to be shaken, going back to our issue of in what area was this tefach said, in what part of the lulav, If we're dealing in the world of Na'anuim, clearly what would be sufficient, what part of the lulav would be sufficient that would rise above the hadasim and the aravos?
The leaves.
The leaves, the olim. That's what we're menaneya. But if we're dealing over here with defining the lulav as a dominant species, with giving it its definition as the min shegavoa mikulam, this could be, again, the issue of Rav Yochan and Rav Parnach, why it should be in the Shedra. Namely, not that the Shedra is defined as the lulav as opposed to the alim, but rather, if we're dealing with the world of Gavoa Mikulam objectively, the Shedra is that which gives the lulav its height. So, again, in other words, we asked... We pointed out that we have a machokas. We've shown him what is the gufa shalulav. Is the gufa shalulav only the shedra, or is the gufa shalulav the lulav and the alim? We asked the question: how could that be a machokas? We've shown him that's a machokas amoraim over here, as to how do we measure the four tfachim in the alim or in shedra. So this is the question that the Ritva asked on the Ravid. But also we can have a different direction by saying that the machlokes by us is not a question of what is the guf of the lulav, but rather what is the function of the tefach. Is the function of the tefach for na'nuim? Is the function of the tefach to give the lulav its dominance? Just to go back to the shiur that we spoke about last time, in terms of ksuse mechta shiure, we pointed out that ksuse mechta shiure does not apply to all shiurim. It applies only to shiurim that are objective halakhic shiurim. But if we have shiurim that are functional, so the fact that something is asr bahana, the fact that something is omed li'ibud, will not necessarily impact on a functional shiur. How do we view the shiur of the lulav? So again, if it's kedeg naneya, yitachen it's a functional shiur. If it's in order to give dominance to the lulav as the... As the min on which we're going to make the bracha, then maybe we'd apply the world of ksuse mechtash shiure. Just to conclude, there's also a machlokes over here that appears to be very, very technical, that between Rashi Tosfos on one hand and the Ramban on the other hand, that we have within the Gemara the Deya of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says that we use not the classic tfachim in order to set the height of the lulav, but rather we're going to use small tfachim. We're going to use mini tfachim in order to be able to set up the arba minim of the. I'm sorry, the arba tfachim of the lulav, and. And Tosfos points out that say mehem gimel lahadas v'ashar lulav pirish bekuntrus v'harevia shehosafta belulav ye betefach ka'elu, that just as the three tfachim of the hadas and the arava according to Rabbi Tarfon are using the smaller tfachim, so also the four tfachim of the lulav is using the smaller tfachim. And then Tosus has a problem that we have ulufi b'chol inyan shenafarish. No matter how we're going to learn, lo metuk mahahi the Tanya chamisha shirim tefach k'rabbi Tarfon. That the sugya Anida points out that we have five areas in which we have a shir of tefach. One of those is the tefach of the lulav. It's not going to work out according to Rabbi Tarfon, who used a smaller shir of the tefach for. The lulav according to Rabbi Tarfon. However, what the Ramban points out, and that's quoted after the Ritva quotes the Shita of the Balei HaTosfos and points out that we have an asmachta of Rabbeinu Yonah, mi baldvar mi gashelai, that the lulav is going to end up with 13 and a third fingers in size to get to the four small tfachim. However, the Ramban holds, no, that we have over here, we divide the lulav into two parts. The first three tfachim of the lulav are parallel to the hadas and the arava. Those are made of the small tfachim. But the fourth tefach that we're adding to the lulav, that which it goes above the Hadas and the Arava, that even according to Rabbi Tarfon is the classic Tefach. And therefore, the Sugi and Nida fits in very, very nicely. That Chamisha Shirim Tefach, that fourth Tefach of the Lulav is a regular Tefach. That the Lulav is made up of two parts. It's made up of a basic shear of small Tefachim, similar to Hadas and Arava, and then we add a classic Tefach in order to give it its uniqueness. What could be the machlokes over here between Rashi and Tosfos on one hand and the Ramban on the other hand as to whether the lulav is made up of four uniform small tfachim or three small tfachim parallel to the Hadas and the Arava and then a regular tefach that will be the distinction between it and the Hadas and the Arava. What you know, how could this link in with the Chakir we just raised earlier? And if we had a Chakira, where does this fourth Tefach of the Lulav come from? Is it Kedei L'Naneyabo, or is it to give us our definition of a Lulav as being the dominant Min, as being the Min Shu Gavoa Mikula? So we up to now we had two nafgaminas. One nafgamina would be, are we talking within the Sheder, are we talking within the Olim? Are we talking, in other words, in terms... Right, are we talking within the Shedra or the Olim? Are we talking, is Kisuse Mechta Shiure, would it impact on these Shiurim? How over here, the question is to whether we have a Lulav, which is made up of, here's our Hadas, and here's our Rava, and here's our Lulav. Right? So, according to Rabbi Tarfon, these are three and three and three. These are all in the smaller tefachim. And what about over here? So according to Rashi and Tosos, this is also within the small one. And according to the Ramban, this tefach over here is a tefach benoni. Maybe that according to Rashi and Tosos, the height of the lulav would be 13 and a third fingers, while according to the Ramban, it'll come out to be 14 fingers, because we're dealing over here with the Beinoni. What could be over here the machlokes between Rashi and Tosos and the Ramban? This fourth tefach, where is it coming from? If we're saying that this is to give the lulav its dominance as being the highest of the minim, would it make sense to say that we have a lulav of three plus one of different with different standards? And what if we're saying over here that this is to give it the ability of nanui? Which of these would fit smoother in Ramban, and which of these would fit smoother into Rashi and Tosfos?
Want to be dominant, if I want the bigger shear.
Excuse me?
If I want the lulav to be dominant, would you probably want the bigger shear?
But then why over here would only this be the lulav starts here and ends over here? In other words, if we're dealing with the definition of a lulav as the min hagavoa yoser, l'chora, we should have the same standard of tefach from bottom to top. This is one organic lulav. But if we're saying no, that the organic lulav really could stop over here, we don't care about the fact that it happens to grow in the forest as the longest of the species. We need this tefach over here because of na'anuim. So that could be that Rabbi Tarfon would agree that even if the standard of the lulav hadas and arava is using smaller tefachim, but the na'anuim, that is a separate halacha. Na'anuim is a separate halacha. And that would require a tefach benoni. That's the sugya nida, the chamisha tefachim pain. That there are five areas where we need a tefach benoni, including the tefach of the lulav. Again, that we pointed out that this tefach over here, in other words, is either part of a larger whole, or we view it
and standing on its own. My nafkamina is part of a larger whole or standing on its own. So one nafkamina would be, is this part of the Shedra or is this part of the Alim? Secondly, in terms of ksuse mechta shiure, is this a functional shiur or is this a shiur of the entire height? And thirdly, can we have over here two different standards? One standard for the lower part of the lulav and another standard for the upper part. If the upper part is one organic whole with the lower part, it's very hard to say we have two standards. If, on the other hand, we're dealing with a world of na'anuim, a separate issue which is attached on to the lulav, which is the same height as the other minim, then we could have a different standard.
Okay, adkan is what I wanted to share with you in terms of of these sugis. Bli neder on Yom Rishon, we'll, in other words, try and work our way through the world of Hadas and the world of Hadas, right? The next mission deals with the world of Hadas. Over here, we skipped the world of Dichui Yetzal Mitzvos when we saw the previous Tosvos on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, so we're going to hit into it over here on Daf Lamed Gimel Aleph. So here we'll learn the sugya of Dichui. The Seder, so I'll give you Mar Makamos.